if we can get close to Allah, and if we make a connection with Allah, if we strengthen our bond with Allah, and if Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us, and if all our deeds are accepted in the hereafter, and if we are successful in this world, and successful if we become successful in the hereafter, this is all a collective desire of all of us. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, every man is making effort and working towards this end point. Most definitely, you all and myself, at this time we are gathered, and the reason that we are gathered is that we have heard a hadith from the respected scholars with regards to the majlis of dhikr of Allah, that to sit in these majalis, in these gatherings, the insan, the human being, if he sits amongst good company, if he sits in a good environment, if he sits in a majma, a gathering of the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, and just like this is the gathering of the dhikr of Allah, and this is da'wah and ta'aleem, propagation and education, these are all majalis, all gatherings of propagation, ta'aleem and dhikr, and we are also sat with this niyyah. It's not that we're sat for some other reason. All of these points that I made in the beginning, we're all here for this, to attain this result. But let's think one thing here, and let's really understand this in detail, that all of the things I've just said to you with regards to the juz of the deen, the parts of the deen, I've just told you the summary of the different parts of the deen, the different portions of the deen. This is what we want. We want paradise. We want to be saved from hellfire. We want to link with Allah. We want Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. We want Allah Ta'ala's love. Isn't it? We want all of this. And all of those broken deeds that we have, that when they are presented in Allah's court, we want them to be accepted. This is what we want, isn't it? So different people are trying in different ways and making effort to get to this end point. But within all of this, there's one point I'd like to present to all of you, which the pious elders, our pious predecessors, have defined. And we need to hear this. That there's one such amal, that if we don't pay attention to that amal, if we do not implement that amal, and if we're negligent on that deed, and if we ignore that deed, or if we consider it as a minor, as insignificant, we don't think it's important, we don't give it importance in our lives, then the situation with regards to us, because if we are lacking with this one principal point, then we will not attain nothing in all of those factors I've mentioned, whether, regardless of whether I do ibadah all night long, all day long, even if I pray tahajjud in abundance, even I have so many deeds to my name, whatever I do, but the amal that I am telling you, if the human being, the insan, does not pay attention to it, doesn't give it importance, doesn't direct himself to it, or his efforts towards it, or doesn't give importance to it, then nothing will be attained within any factor of Islam that we are working upon or that we are making effort upon. Rather, because we won't have this amal, this specific deed, then eventually we'll see in the akhirah, people who implemented the most deeds of all will be presented to Allah. The abideen, the zahid. I can't say zahid, but those were deeds. Those were deeds. Lot of amal. And they'll be presented in the court of Allah. And from them all, they will have not one deed left to their name, because they did not implement this one critical, pivotal deed that Allah Ta'ala has defined. Shall I tell you what is that deed? Shall I tell you first, promise, will you do this deed? Inshallah. What's the point of telling you this deed, critical deed, if we don't practice it? So it's a true promise you make? Okay. Now let's see here. What we have to consider here is that due to the amal, there's light. And if we don't practice that amal, there's darkness. And that's the big difference between doing it and not doing it. We'll have to do this. We'll have to do this. Rather, this is ahsan. This is the ahsan. In reality, if we think, then this is the pivot of the deen. Shall I present this pivot of the deen into your service? That amal is this, my brothers, that Whichever human being, whichever man, whichever woman, whichever male, whichever female has spent his life in such a way that due to him or her, due to that individual, nobody received any difficulty or pain due to that person. So due to me, due to you, due to anyone, if a person lives his life, all his life, that due to that person he doesn't give pain or difficulty to anyone else, then if he lives his life like this, then he will attain all of those rewards that I mentioned in the beginning, in the initial point. So the criteria here is whoever lives such a life, that due to his life, his body, due to him or her, he doesn't or she doesn't give pain or difficulty or trouble to anyone else. Due to him, nobody else gets any problems. Then such a person in the Akhirah, that he will have the highest baland maqam, the highest maqam. The awliyaullah will be like this, the kutub will be like this, the abdal will be like this, the good pious people will be like this, the walis of Allah will be like this, those who have the qurba of Allah will be like this, they will be deserving of Jannah. And those people in the highest of grades and maqams will have this station. And those who did so much amal, and they don't have this amal of not paining or giving trouble to anyone else, then they will be in the worst of positions. Because due to them, to other people, who are others, about which it is said that don't give pain to others, don't give difficulty to others, that due to me, I don't want to give problems to other people. Who are the people? The whole of mankind, the whole of creation of Allah. White, black, yellow, believer, person who doesn't believe, all makhluk, animals, creatures. If due to myself, I give pain or trouble or issues to others, then I fall into that trap, into that darkness. And this is the reason for Ma'ashara. Rasulullah ﷺ came with this platform and with this basis of understanding of life. Have we ever thought about this? Tell me. Have we? For us, Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullah stated that our basis is what? That just prayer and salah and fasting. We think this is deen. The true deen we do not point towards. We don't even face, because fasting and salah and hajj and zakah will be accepted due to this deed. If I don't do this ibadah of not troubling others, then none of my worship or other deeds will be accepted. Now I have to see today that how much importance is placed on this. And who are the others? What are all of Allah's makhluk? Allah says, no differentiation here. No differentiation here. Allah Ta'ala says, my makhluk is vast, widespread. Insan, the human being, mashallah, is a great form of creation. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started from the bottom. That is the ant, not the creation of Allah. The bird, the sparrow, and is the cat, not the creation of Allah. Look what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Once Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was present, and he was doing wudu, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And a cat came to the Prophet ﷺ, next to the Prophet ﷺ, and Rasulullah ﷺ realized that the cat was thirsty. Then Nabi ﷺ, the vessel that he was doing wudu from, he put the vessel in front of the cat, and the cat then drank the water, and the rest of the water that was left, Rasulullah ﷺ did wudu with that water. Tell me, what a great point. This is the animal. Animal. Once Nabi al-Kareem ﷺ was passing by a certain location, and when they stopped, they saw that a bird had laid an egg. There was an egg that had been laid, and a person picked up the egg. When the person picked up the egg, then that bird started to shriek and scream and flap its wings. And Rasulullah said, why is this bird flapping its wings? Has somebody done something wrong against this bird? And he said that, yes, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, I took the egg of this bird. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was displeased and unhappy. He said, go back and put that egg back. You've given pain and trouble to that bird. So this is a big point. In another place, the Prophet ﷺ once was passing by a certain location, and the one companion went and disturbed some of the creatures and insects that were there. And for example, he maybe lit a fire, and Rasulullah ﷺ said, why have you done this? Can you not see that here there are some creatures here, and do you not think that when you light the fire here that they will get trouble? You are giving trouble to the makhluk of Allah. So these are the situations with examples of animals. What about the examples relating to human beings? So the basis of trouble, we see that everyone else is including this, from home to outside, to the ma'ashara, to the shop, to the business, to a home. There's nobody who is saved from this. Everyone walking, talking, up and down. And if, for example, you give any sort of pain to anybody, this comes into... Now we say the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, the kutubs and the kitab, we hear about their stories and their great events, and we think that these were the people who woke up all night long. Did ibadah all night long and fasted in the day. Maybe this, they used to recite Quran, they did ibadah, and their ibadah was this that I'm telling you. This was their ibadah. And they, for example, even if they were sworn at, they would give du'as to those people who swore at them. And this ibadah they brought into the life, and after bringing this into the life, then they created a link with Allah and became the mahbub of Allah and the beloved of Allah. At that time. So what do we have? How much attention do we pay to this? So what does it mean that giving pain to anyone? For example, insan, whoever is that insan, if you've done something that gives a problem to that insan, then this is giving pain to that insan. For example, you're sat in the masjid and you're praying Salah, Jummah, and you've come and, for example, you have nudged somebody with your leg or on their knee or on their elbow, and he's got a lot of pain due to you nudging past or taking a position that you shouldn't be taking. You give him pain, and you're sitting or walking through to the front. I did this much dhikr, I did this much tasbih, and I prayed Jummah, and I walk out big headed out of the masjid. But in the kitab of Allah, I'm written as something else. My deeds are written as something else. Allah Ta'ala will write something else in my book of deeds. Not the abid. For example, you're walking and you shoulder somebody, or you barge somebody, and you're going through the safs, the rows, and you barge somebody with your shoulder, and you give trouble to someone, and he has pain or an issue or trouble, you disturb that person. And you know that, for example, somebody doesn't like something and you're doing that action, you're giving pain to that person, trouble to that person. How can this be? So if in the day we count the number of instances, examples, and this is common. Today, Asr time, I see every day at Asr time, the Qari Sahib, for example, and he takes me out of the car and he doesn't see that, for example, that a person who's parked incorrectly and he cannot come out of the car if the other car is parked incorrectly, and we come out of the masjid after praying thinking that we are fine. If we were to understand deen, my brothers, the ulama, the respected scholars, they explain the basis of deen. If we were to understand deen properly, then we'll realize what is deen in the essence of deen, in actual fact. What is the essence of deen? That if we leave the masjid 10-15 minutes, people have to wait every day. People come out smiling. Oh, and he shows his teeth and he's laughing. Oh, I'm sorry I made you wait. And his car's parked incorrectly. He's blocking other people. Oh, servant of Allah, that you can see here that people are waiting. Or, for example, there are signs and marks on the car. And you know that person cannot move his car out of the position. This happens every day. And this is the masjid. What about the rest of the places that we visit? Allah knows best. And the Sharia tells us what? Our Sharia, what does it say? Subhanallah. That if you are going to another country, a foreign country, then study the laws of that country and do amal on the laws of the country. Just like it is essential to do that, just as it's essential for you to implement the principles of the Sharia. This is Islam. Yellow line, if you park your car on a yellow line in an invalid time, forget about what happens after that. A ticket will come. The ticket will have come, but the ticket in the heavens, that will have been applied because you have broken the law of that land. And it's important within Sharia to obey the laws of the land that you're living in. Now tell me, that we say, oh, this person, he's deendar, look at his ibadah, look at his zuhud, and in the kitab of Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, yes, but this is the ibadah I want to see, which is the good conduct. Our Sharia is so strict, and our law, which we call Sharia, that if you're living in a foreign country, wherever you are, doesn't matter, all of the laws of that country and the principles, all of those laws are fard, you can say, are compulsory on a person. And Sharia says that you must implement those laws, just like we have to follow those laws. And it's a sin if we don't implement that law. If it's a sin. And many people, I hear them speaking, no, no, it's okay, we're living here in a foreign land, we can do this wrong. I say, how can this be? We can do this with money, we can steal, we can consume their wealth, we can defraud, we can deceive. Astaghfirullah ta'ala, Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa tubli. What a big deceit in the name of Islam! In the name of Islam, the zahid, forget about ibadah and worship, And all of the deeds that we do, if you tell someone to do a bit of nafal, voluntary fast, if he practices a little bit, then he can fast all year long. Because he's into the routine. In the morning, he'll get up, breakfast, and in the evening, he'll wait for dinner time, he won't have lunch. And these 30 days of Ramadan after that, it's difficult to eat in the afternoon, isn't it? After Eid, you have to, by force, put the food into your body. And some people become ill, but in reality, we don't feel like eating. What do we feel like? That, oh, Maghrib Azan again, I feel like having dates at that time and water, because we get used to doing that, brother. It doesn't take long to do tahajjud. If someone keeps on waking you up, you'll become a person who's regular in tahajjud, alhamdulillah. And first hajj will be difficult for you, then after the hajj will be like a holiday for you. You're going on hajj upon hajj. This happens, doesn't it? Yes. So what's the difference here? Aha! But if some young man or any woman shows the example that I've lived my life, that due to me, I have not given pain or trouble to anybody else. And this is the basis of our life, my friends. That's why I'm saying this, that we need to look inside ourselves. How much ibadah do? I worship. And what can I say about this ibadah, which is not to trouble or give pain or issues to other people? So if I don't do this ibadah, what will happen? For example, if I don't pray first, if I don't fast, if I don't have hajj, what will happen? I'll go to the court of Allah, and Allah's rahmah, Allah says himself that it's my choice if I account you or not, or if I send you directly into paradise. That's between me and you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala is Rahim here in this world, and Allah will be Rahim in the hereafter as well, inshallah. But the genuine point here that we have to understand, the asal ibadah that we have left, the real ibadah that we have left, the worship, is that if an ant will complain. Who did the ant complain about? Such a great Nabi, the ant was complaining. The army of Suleiman is coming and this will finish me and destroy me. And Allah Ta'ala is listening. And then Hazrat Suleiman heard this and he got the news that the complaint is coming. He said, beware and don't give any loss to this ant and don't blow it away. Don't we read this in the Quran? Don't we recite the Quran? This is the story that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned to us. Allah Ta'ala says that if you live in the same way and you are members of the Nabi, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his standards were such that the ummah of Rasulullah SAW should be such that they don't even harm an ant. Tell me from our iman, do we have this Islam in our hearts today? What is our hal? What's our situation? Tell me. What is our hal? We need to think. The amount of dhulam that we are doing in the name of Islam. We are doing dhulam, we are pressing. We are ridiculing, we are rubbing in the soil, in the dirt, the name of Islam, with our bad manners and our bad conduct. And that's why people say that, when we say, oh, that this person's a Muslim, they laugh. They say, oh, maybe he looks like a Muslim, he's got libas, he's got the imamah, and he's done these deeds though. That, for example, he's given pain to 10,000 men in the masjid, or outside, or in the plane, or he's killed people. And people say that he's a Muslim and he's a believer. Why? Because the teaching of Islam has finished, or has diminished. And what is this? This ilm, to attain this ilm, this knowledge, which Darul Ulum do we need? We need the institutes of the Khanqas. Yes, we need the Khanqas. This doesn't need Darul Ulum. This teaching, this learning doesn't need a kitab. Remember this, there's no syllabus for this teaching, for this subject that I'm mentioning to you. The teacher of this, Allah Ta'ala has made in such a way that from the heart of that teacher comes the ilm, and he distributes that teaching amongst the students. And look at the Abu Akabirin. That when the khankas diminished or decreased or closed, from the time that the khankas have disappeared from our amal, then that's the time that our destruction started. When this became a game, peer bazi, becoming a peer and getting murids and students. And even if we see this today, that the game plan, when did it change? That the ajeeb theme that they have presented, they say that peer and the sheikh is this, that you float in the air and he speaks to you, and you have dreams and visions. And since this has diminished or been eliminated, that what is the real maqsad of the tasawwuf? The real objective of the tasawwuf is that the Quran and the Sunnah is to apply the Quran and the Sunnah upon our batin. And for us to make our batin sahih, to bring Sharia and Quran into our life. For example, we go to the Ulum Institutes, we learn ilm, we attain ilm. What's the reason for this? So that the Quran and the Sunnah can come practically, physically into our lives. That's the reason why we attain ilm al-zahir and ilm al-batin, which used to be related to the khankas, but now it's gone away from the khankas as well. And what was the ilm that we got? That it is the same Quran, it's the same Sharia, and the hadith that I'm telling you at the moment. That we do dhulam, we oppress, we come to pray, we give difficulty to other people, we come on Eid, we give difficulty to other people, we come for Tarawih, we give difficulty to other people. And at that time, when, for example, when we think that people in the world, we want people to think us as deendar and pious, and at that time we give pain and difficulty to other people, then tell me, that is this according to the Quran and the Sunnah, this ilm? Because this ilm has vanished. Obviously, if we decrease the khankas or close down the khankas or close down the madrasas, then who will recite the Quran? Nobody. Nobody will. No one will become alim. No one will become a maulana. And slowly, slowly you will stop and reduce the reading of the hadith. If you cut off the basis and the pivotal basis, and then if tabliq finishes, then where will people give dawah tabliq? Where will people go for these many days? Why? Because the markaz, the objective viewpoint, has diminished. And as we go along day by day and the deen is spreading, people are going out in the path of Allah, then that going out in the path of Allah will stop. Such a great work of the deen will stop. Yes, so for ilmi zahir, if you close down madrasas and darul ulooms, Allah says, will the hadith disappear? Will ilm disappear? No, it won't. So in the same way, when the khankas were closed, then tasawwuf did not take effect as it should have, and our akhlaq is eliminated and disappeared, and we have just showing off. But when we go to the hereafter and we don't have this amal of good conduct, do you understand? If we don't have the amal and we pass away and we're taking pounds upon pounds, oh, I've got this many thousand packets of pounds, this many, but on the other side I've got this many thousand Quran and Salah and fasting, and I'm going big-headed. Allah says that this is the court of justice. Allah Ta'ala will establish the court. Subhanallah, is a hadith in Mishkat, agreed, that when the court of Allah Ta'ala will be laid out and all of the people of mankind of history will be stood, then who will be given justice to first? Which amal will be looked at first? Quran, hadith, before all of this, before all the amal, the first hisab will be made for what? Very delicate situation, my friends. And most definitely, if we want to prepare for thereafter, we want to prepare for qiyamah, we want to prepare for the grave, then listen to what I'm saying carefully. Listen to what I'm saying carefully. In attention, and change the direction if need be, because I've taken the promise from you in the beginning. The first question that will be asked in the court of Allah, take the hadith and understand this. The first question Allah will ask, when Allah will call a person for hisab, Allah will call the husband and the wife together. Subhanallah. What a great and delicate relationship. And subhanallah, all of ma'ashra and society emanates from this. Both husband and wife will be called, and there will be justice first between the two. Which insaf? Which justice? This same paper. The daily life, that you did this with the husband and you did this with the wife, and you gave this much pain and you gave this much pain, and Allah will make the hisab barabar, equal. All of makhluk will be so there. And Allah says husband and wife will be counted for first, and how is it stated in the hadith? That wife, that she, her tongue will stop moving, and she will not be able to speak. Allah will say that, give me the answer, that what did you do, what didn't you do? Then the limbs and the organs of the body will give the hint, will give the answer, and they will say that he did this wrong, and he spoiled his hanka, or he mistreated his husband, or she disobeyed husband like this. Every one another excuse will be made, that this is the right, these are the rights that this person broke against the husband or the wife. Whatever rights Allah Ta'ala gave to you for the husband, did you appreciate this? And the wife is silent that time. But Allah Ta'ala will get the answers from the parts of the body. So this, subhanallah. And that person, that woman, she used to pray tahajjud and do tasbih in the night, and mashallah, she's got a high maqam, and people praise her, that, oh, you know, Bibi, this sister, that she's good, oh, subhanallah, she can solve the issue, she's pious, etc. So we have to pay for the deeds that we've committed, we have to account for. And the best person in the ma'ashara, in society, is who? Is that person whose wife is pleased with him and whose children are pleased with him. So put up your hands if your wife is pleased with you. Please put up your hands. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the beginning, Allah Ta'ala says, this is not rada, my rada, that you do ibadah. The akhlaq that Allah Ta'ala gave to us, these are the hukuk, the rights. Yes, we didn't create them. Allah Ta'ala Sharia distributed the rights across mankind. And from that, how much rights did I give to my wife? And when the husband's asked, he will also close his mouth, and one part of his body will say, oh, that you did dhulm with your wife, and he didn't have the haq to ridicule or to do dhulm against her. But no, you'll have to do this with my wife, with my mother. The woman, the wife, used to say, you have to give these rights to my sister, to my mother, to these people. And if we don't fulfill the rights, we learn masail and masala. That have we ever put this into practical life? That before my wedding, what hukuk will I fulfill for my wife? But we think upside down. We won't learn ourselves. What will we learn? We'll sell the wife. that between me and you, you need to understand this is the haqq upon me. Allah says, this is how the wife should be. That he's saying, this is between me and you. And the wife is saying, that don't you have any rights? Don't I have any rights upon you? We don't even know the rights of each other. And this is what should happen, that when a person's getting married, for example, a daughter's getting married, then first of all, teach by an alim, that tell me, what are the rights that you have to fulfill? And if the wali of Allah, subhanallah, if he is a wali of Allah, then from the first day the children were born, are like walis of Allah. For example, if you think, if you look at the birth dates, that how they were born, and if you look at the Aqabreen, our pious predecessors, we see the match, subhanallah. Our Aqabreen, for example, when they made tawbah, they said, they have understood what is the law of Allah. We say four marriages and three marriages. We can't even account for one marriage and we're prepared to marry four times. We're married, prepared to marry three times. We can't even account for the once. With such ease, we say, I want to get married twice or three times. And fifth marriage maybe, or whatever number of times he's done before. What's the answer for this? That will we be able to preach to that person? That you'll say to him, the Quran and the Sharia, look what they're saying to you and how are you responding? And he'll say that this is a majlis and this is a majlis of rectification. Rectification, and this is a very high level discussion, very high level. Subhanallah, because in the eyes of people, they will say that he's Sufi sahab, dhaka, don't give deception to anyone. Take yourself into, bring yourself into control. That is it, are we worthy that people praise us, or should they just look at our imam and our face and start praising us? No, this is not what will give success. Rather, we will regret that, oh, we didn't have these qualities with us, but when we realize that we did, they'll say, Allah, this action, this day, this action. And the person, he didn't fulfill his dues, his rights, he did this dhulam, this dhulam, this dhulam, and he crushed his desires so much, and then the wife, she crushed her desires for the husband, so there in the house will be Jahannam, will there be Shaitan will be born, or the Jannah will be born. So one loss, the wife, for example, she's always worried about the in-laws that take his sister out, take his mum out, and the husband's worried about taking her relatives out. This is the game we're playing in our society. If only we could understand that the relationships, the relations are all for the hereafter. They're all for the hereafter. They are ibadat, worship. And from this we learn Jannah, and we learn about hellfire. We learn about paradise, and we learn about hellfire. The second point, that when we appreciate and value the scenario, then what will happen? There will be hisab in the mashara. And the whole of the mashara will have to cover this. So this is ibadah. So tell me now, how many people are doing this ibadah? How many people? How many people are asking Allah to be saved from the bridge of Sirat? And what will be our hajr on the plane of judgment? What will happen? Subhanallah. So as the Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah said, that we're just walking around with namaz to our name, salah to our name. People say, oh, he's a person who prays regularly, and we think that that person's great. Through ibadah. So, the second hisab that will be made will be what? Your hisab and the person who's in charge, who he works for. At some stage, you are the boss at the moment. And do you have a firm, a factory, or you're working somewhere, etc.? These questions are raised, aren't they? Are you that person? Or are you someone who's just working? Or you are a person who makes other people work? Both have the rights, both. And both will be presented. And this is the second case that will occur in the court of Allah. After that will be all the other points. And this is the second galmat, the second point that's established. And it'll be asked you, yes, I had this many servants, and they were like this, this, and this. And then his mouth will be sealed, and the servants will be asked. And then the mulazim, his mouth will be sealed, who says incorrect. And then they'll ask, that what was the hukuk that you fulfilled? And he will say that I wasted time. What rubbish talking? And only those know who do it, and we don't know about these words. Subhanallah. These issues. So how a person breaks the haqq of the mulazim? Why? Because the law of this country, as I said to you, this is for us Sharia to follow it. And if the law of this country says that your workers, your employees, that you need to give 3 months holiday or 1.5 months holiday and this much wage, then I don't think anyone's doing amal on this law. Principle. And where is that person going? On Hajj, subhanallah. I swear by Allah, even the Kaaba will be ashamed of seeing us. That where did this man come from? Where did he come from? If only, for example, he said that, oh, you've just come to me, they've come to me, if only he asks for forgiveness and Allah Ta'ala will forgive that person. And I will also overlook what he did wrong. But we don't make these promises and intentions. Allah, I don't have a son. Allah, I've got problems. Ya Allah, give me this. And we don't remember our sins. The objective that we are here for. I am deceitful. I am eating the hukuk. There's a delay. I am not speaking about this ibadah. Because of all the ibadah are the same and they're below. But Allah Ta'ala, make me that person who can do ibadah. Do any one of us ask this? We don't even pay attention for this. We don't even think about this. Ibadah in this is nothing for us. So look how much importance there is if we add up. And the same way the worker will be asked that, yes, you tell us that. How did you used to work? And how did you used to distribute the cards? You work 8 hours, maybe 6 hours, you'll distribute and you'll drink tea at the same time. Has he come? Has the shurta come? And it doesn't matter how many cameras are installed. Oh, he's watching, look, the camera's a light. So subhanAllah, he'll say that I paid the transfer fee for you some hours ago, 8 hours ago. Now you have to follow what I'm saying. And if you don't follow the advice and direction I'm saying, it's haram. And your money will become haram. How can you do this action? You're making an excuse. And for example, you're going down to urinate or smoke a cigarette. Were these things in your contract, in your job contract? Islam is a very honest deen, my friends. Very honest deen. This was Islam, for example, that the ghayr, the people who did not have iman, would become Muslims after seeing the true example of deen. And if this mashara, if we become true Muslims all the time, then imagine where the image of Islam will be. Yes, today we make complaints, we watch TV and listen to radio and news. This is happening in the world, this dhulam, this oppression. Me, in reality, I say from my heart that there's no dhulam. The oppressors are us, ourselves. We are continuously doing mustahiq. Injustice. Allah Ta'ala says, when you leave me, I will leave you. And if Allah has left somebody, then the dogs and the cats will devour that person. That's what will happen. So much of a rule, so much of a principle, we've just buried it in the sand. Sharia says that every law of this country goes. And you have to give to the worker the dues, whatever is the law. Subhanallah. So, for example, we don't even know today what is status, what do I need to give, what do I need to take, what is the status. That same person, he will also be asked, and he will try to say the wrong thing. He doesn't know what's my action, what's wrong. And he will also try to decrease the gap. That person. So the third hisab, there are three hisabs. We've got one and two, Allahu Akbar. Ma'asharat, society, environment, everything that we do, tijara, we're buying stock, we're shop owners, we're weighing, we're selling. Yes, I'm just coming. He's just come from Kashmir and he's got apples, the apples have come out from the dirty water. Forget that, and they've got the wrong stamps and he's taking them off and he puts the unripened fruit in the front and the ripened at the back. And for example, he says, take the what's at the back and mix it with what's in the beginning. SubhanAllah. So we have the data. Isn't this the case? Why isn't this case? So why do we have to? Not, why don't we understand the scenario here? So here, the point is, I'm telling you the right point here, is that, for example, when we eat and we have something left over, we mix it with the main dish and we say, oh, give to this person, they're needy. We're going to choose some people. What should we have done? That if the bindi, the okra, was getting cold at the time, you should have heated it up and served it. At that time, were there not Muslims in Hindustan, in the Indian subcontinent? Have you not read history? You haven't? Where did Islam come from? That when the Arab person reached there, and via Gujarat he went. Remember this point. This Bombay at that time was a sea where we are. So the Qaum of the Arabs, when they reached to the coast of Bombay, when they went and they took permission and they were standing, sitting, seeing their face, everything, the people there, the makhluk, they all stood up. This is history. All of the young women folk, when they saw this situation so much haya that her eyes do not raise. The eyes don't raise, that she doesn't even look towards anyone after that. Then subhanAllah, the announcement was made that, where are you coming from? Who do you believe in? SubhanAllah. Muntazim and waiting, and so much discipline that you have, so much haya with regards to women. And what we're seeing here is that you have patience with the women folk. These are ajeeb examples. So where are you now? So he explained that our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us this, these principles. He's taught us this. When they realized this, then they wrote a letter back. In the letter he wrote that your Nabi, what did you know that he's passed away or he's alive? He said, whatever your imam, your leader states, for the sake of Allah, don't give this letter in the group, because we are jahil, we don't know what is going on. We have many accounts of other people that we need to correct at the same time. We go further now to understand another point. So the Sahaba Ikram, the honorable companions, this was the deen that they had. And they prepared for this deen because they knew what will be the hal of our salah. What will be the hal of our salah. And when they stood up, we see that this person taking this money, this person's money, this person's money. And then the court, the scale of Allah. So the person, for example, when he's asked that, what have you done for this person? And we'll say that he did this to me, he did this to me. How will you be happy? Only one way I can imagine Allah. Allah says, he says, Allah, I need mal, I need the funds. SubhanAllah. So these deeds are the amal. We've taken one thing to another place. But now we have got so much in terms of delivery. We should continue in the normal pattern. And after that, for example, what do we see? The people mistreat the creatures. And it's stated in the hadith, a person who takes so much amal, he will be drowned in his amal. And for example, people are sat there all day long waiting. We've had to speak sometimes intensely. This is the shortfall. This is what's short, etc. And this is the difference. Everything links. You saw with your eyes. So this is something that makes the heart go down. For example, if I see that your heart is not feeling good and nice, and there's some sadness due to you, if I know that I've given pain and no wickets for that person, then before you go, you say, please, my friend, forgive me, you are saved. This is called saying sorry, SubhanAllah. And another jol that's come away. That we say we have Islam to our names, but we don't have Islam to our names. We don't have the respect, but the teachings continue. The teachings continue. Imagine, is this not the case? Is this not the case? We never say sorry to anybody. But we will be asked about our sorry and our forgiveness and repentance. And if we make the niyyah today, and any time this may occur to the people of the first world, maybe it's you, nobody else has felt. So when I leave here from the front, and by mistake my shoe, it touched his shoe in back. He said, please ask for forgiveness. I said that if I've taken some shoes, ask for forgiveness from the first day. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So this is the deen that we need to make. This is the deen that we need to make. And we should learn this deen. We should learn this thing. SubhanAllah. So Salah is gone, isn't it? So Jummah has finished. Jummah will finish. And then we say, oh, start putting the flowers over the person's neck. And always since, for example, all the good deeds have gone. All the rewards have gone. And the person, while he's walking into paradise, he changes direction, goes into Jahannam. So what deed will help us? The same deed, the dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. And how does it become useful? SubhanAllah. This is also an event in Hadith. So there was a Jannati. And he, for example, had the fragrance of Jannah. So he had the permission to go there. And then the order for Jannah will come. And they'll call out, oh brother, brother, oh person of Jannah, you are Jannati, why do you speak to me? He said, I want to make a request to you. Can I request by Jan? And Hazrat said, have we got any link? He said, no, we have no link. SubhanAllah. So this is the hadith I told him. The hadith. What was the link? I will explain now. Have we got ijazah here? That, for example, you were once on a journey on Hajj. And when you were about to go to Arafah, then you were very thirsty at that time, very thirsty. And you couldn't go to drink water, go out, because when you leave the masjid to drink water, then your seat will be taken. Allah will say that I took out from the tub, and I took my water out, and I gave you water. And you say normally, shukran. So Allah says, do it the same way. They go to that person and say, Allah, that this individual gave me water. Allah, please have mercy on this person. Please have mercy on this person. Allahu Akbar. Say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. That man will say that, what did I do? I did nothing special. And he will be told that, did you not read the Quran? Did you not hear the hadith? So Allah Ta'ala will give you shifa from the negatives of Jahannam, that you are going empty handed and I have favors that I need to fulfill on you. And he's listening. And he will say, I make a general Jannah group, say, haven't you heard what he's doing? Why don't you accept? SubhanAllah. So you accept that he, who is he ashamed of? His Rabb. Go again, and whatever he gives, take, whatever is returned, return. So we see the scenario. You'll have to swallow that. I remember this, that was after fasting month, and I remember till today. So there was no water, and I had to break the fast. Very strong rain. And I'm telling you about dhikr of all life. Then this is such a problem we have, and it's in my heart until today. So it's obvious I'm stood here, and I have to make this request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will happen? I'm sat here, and the fast was about to break, and I didn't have any water, no water to drink. And somebody, an individual I saw from far, he said, the gate man has come. SubhanAllah. And I saw him just a little while, then he stood up, and then he had his own glass of water. He brought the glass to himself, and he put it in front of me, and then he left for a reason. He said, oh, my earnings are waiting for me. jewelry, and you can take the swear, you can take, make them promise that they haven't done anything, and you'll see what is correct or who is wrong. So this will be the hal of those people. And they did this ibadah, that they served people, they didn't break the hearts of people, they asked for forgiveness, and they degraded themselves and elevated other people, that you are right and we are wrong, we ask for forgiveness, you are older and we are younger. No status will come out, no mu'amala will come out, not that I am the husband and you are the wife and you have to listen to me, and if it's my fault, then I need to put my hands together and say to the wife that please forgive me. Allah says, you're asking for forgiveness today and she's breaking your rights. Allah says, I will send you directly into paradise without any reckoning further. So this takabbur, my brothers, takabbur, it's a lengthy topic, inshallah. We'll resume in what I'm doing. But remember here, don't ever forget this ibadah in your lives. This is critical, critical. Now let me tell you another issue here. Point Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, Allah has promised that Deenul Islam will continue to spread until the Day of Judgment. And nobody can wipe away the Quran, the Sunnah, the writings, the scriptures. Quran will go in this form, Sunnah will go in this form. Remember this. And this ibadah, I'm telling you, this will go in this form as well. And not just this, that Allah Ta'ala has stopped us until the Qiyamah. No, we can see that the friends of Allah, or these people, they've gone, or Allah was not there. But Allah Ta'ala definitely prepares that He makes a certain place that where we go and give the... If a man or a woman has distress and you go and put your hand on their issue and fix it, do you know how much ajr and thawab you will get? And what a great ibadah this is. Tell me, what a great ibadah. So such people, this will be the hal, subhanAllah. They did this ibadah, that they served people, they didn't break people's hearts, they asked for forgiveness, they degraded themselves and elevated others, that you are honest and I am wrong. I ask you for forgiveness, you are better, I am small. And no status, no muamala, where I am the husband and you're the wife, and I am better and you're... No, if it's my fault, I'll put my hands together and say, please forgive me. Allah says, you're asking for forgiveness today, and she's diminishing your rights, but you will go with ease into paradise, with ease into paradise. So, but if you're stubborn and staunch, and my brothers know, this is a very lengthy topic. Inshallah, we'll do dhikr now. Remember this, don't forget this ibadah in your lives. Don't forget this ibadah. And in the end, let me say this point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised in the Quran that Deenul Islam will continue to spread until Qiyamah. No one can alter the Sharia, the Quran, the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah Ta'ala's promise. And the Quran will continue like this. The Sunnah will continue like this till Qiyamah. This ibadah, I'm telling you, of good conduct and manners, spreading harmony. You think this will not continue? Allah says that no subject of the Deen can stop. This will continue to the end. We think that the Khankas have gone and there's no friends. Allah says, I've prepared. Somewhere I'll prepare in the world that you can go and correct yourself. You can go and correct yourself. So my friends, that have love with the dhikr of Allah, look for such people that where this ibadah is taught, where this ibadah of good conduct and excellent manners, where we enlighten our hearts and enlighten other people's hearts. And to learn this ibadah, we need to take the sohbat, the company of the friends of Allah, wherever we go, wherever there's a person. But this ibadah, this is where you'll get this ibadah from. From that same place, that ibadah, that place that Allah Ta'ala is a portion for the education to be taught, that's where you can get this ibadah from nowhere else can you learn the good conduct. So definitely create a link with the friends of Allah and do the dhikr of Allah and grab the dhikr of Allah with firmness. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, this doesn't mean that, for example, if you're doing the dhikr of Allah, that you leave the other subjects of the deen. No, whatever subject of the deen you're implementing, Quran, hadith, whatever else you're doing, tabligh, propagation, deen, do all of this. But this ilm, to attain this ilm, then definitely go to that madrasa, spend 1 hour in that madrasa, so that you can continue to attain this ilm of good conduct and manners. And then do everything else to your heart's content, to progress the careers or the subjects of Islam. For example, Allah Ta'ala's rahm and karam, that in this country, has Allah Ta'ala not started this work? Isn't there dhikr in our masjid, morning and evening? The meaning of, the maqsad of dhikr is what? What's the objective of dhikr? Allah Ta'ala says, يُخُرُجُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. That the meaning of dhikr, the objective of dhikr is that it takes you out of the darkness and it takes everyone to the light, to the depth of the light of Allah Ta'ala's marifah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru Allaha dhikran kathira wasabbihu bukratan wa asila. Allah says, oh people of iman, that you have got iman. Now what you need to do is do my dhikr kathir. Allah says kathir. Do a lot of dhikr. Do a lot of dhikr. And don't leave the dhikr morning and evening. Don't do this. Why? يُخُرُجُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah Ta'ala says that whatever darkness and sins you see, Allah Ta'ala says, I will continue to wash your impurities and I will give you the lightness in your heart that will give you benefit in the akhir. But we don't want to do this. We think we have no need to do this. So if me and you don't have a need for dhikr, for remembering Allah, I swear by Allah, that when I went to the service of my Hazrat, my Sheikh, my teacher, I was worse than the animals, worse than the animals. I was worse than the animals. And me, if I compare myself between now and then, if after I have taken the benefit, the great benefit of Hazrat, my Sheikh, then no, from no institute of the world was I learning akhlaq, good manners, conduct, behavior. I was not getting satisfaction in my heart, peace in my heart. I wasn't able to wash the impurities of my heart. I used to go to majalis, gatherings, his speeches, everything I saw and I experienced. I never got anything. But soon as I went to that institute, that Allah Ta'ala made for this purpose, that from here you can get this ibadah. And as soon as I went there, and I was in Hazrat Sohbat, in Hazrat's company, wallah, I swear by Allah, it's that same time the condition of my heart started to change. That same time. And so much into me, I'm telling you practically, there's so much difference came into me, that I was the son of a landowner, of wealthy family, and our noses were high, and our foreheads were high, and we used to sit above the others, and others, our servants used to sit below us. After 1 week company of my sheikh, the hal was such that our servants used to sit above me, and I used to sit beneath them, that my food used to come, I swear by Allah, we used to sit down and eat together with the servants. And all the people within the extended family, they say, is he mad? What's wrong with him? What's this action he's doing? He's degrading us, and he'll make our noses rub in the dirt, in the soil, and he's eating with us. Servants, and I had friendship with the servants. I'd give money to their families, and this became my habit, that the more the poor people were, I'd sit with them and feel ease and peace, satisfaction. Where did this akhlaq come from? Where did this peace of the heart come from? From that place where akhlaq is taught. Look, if you go to the meat shop, you'll find meat. If you go to the vegetable grocery shop, green groceries, you'll get green groceries. If you go to the friend of Allah, you'll learn akhlaq, you'll learn good manners. But we don't go, we don't make effort. We say, how can we be made? We're going to complain to Allah. Allah says, it cannot be. I've given you hukum until Qiyamah, I will prepare. And who knew that before today, who knew that when this Masjid Zakariya was being made, did anyone know when it was being constructed, that soon after maybe some years, morning and evening, there will be dhikr. Thursday evening, there will be dhikr. People will come from far. Allah Ta'ala proved that 6,000, 7,000 people have been taught dhikr from here, from this place. What a great history. Is this my miracle? This is my achievement. Astaghfirullah. No. This is Allah Ta'ala Zad. Allah says, who says that my deen is weak and it's not spreading and promoting? Who says that this ilm, the line of ilm, will be finished? No. When the hisab will come in Qiyamah, no country, no place will be left devoid of my dhikr. Allah says, my deen will continue to spread and to benefit people. Whoever accepts can accept. Whoever doesn't accept, don't accept. Allah says, I will take the hisab from the people. So my brothers, we should keep on trying, make effort, that we should make such an akhlaq, we should have such a lifestyle, that we understand the true essence of the deen, that when we go, should be in such a way that every amal of ours should be first class. There should be nobody complaining, nobody, everyone should be pleased with us. Allah said, oh, everyone's pleased with you, happy with you, why shouldn't I be happy with you? It's not difficult. If the people of the world are happy with us, it's not hard. If we can bring akhlaq, good akhlaq into our lives, what are we, insan? Tell me, what are we? What is our status? We are dirt. We are emanated from a dirty clot of blood and a dirty piece of matter. Allah says that when you sleep and you get up, your mouth, your breath smells. You go to the toilet and the dirty urine and stool comes out of your body. And after a while, germs and bacteria come from your body. This is your status. Who are you? Allah says, you're nothing. Why are you stubborn? Why are you so showing off and make a fuss and think you're big-headed? Why do you walk with the haughtiness on the earth that I've given to you? Allah says, fine, I've given you power. Someone's rich, someone's poor, someone's high, somebody's low, somebody's strong, somebody's weak, someone's got ilm, somebody's illiterate, somebody's high, somebody's low. But everyone should respect the other person. It doesn't matter how great you are and whatever knowledge you have, but you should look at those who are lower than you, say, he's better than me. He knows more than me. I am nothing and he is everything. This is how we should be. We should be humble. And whoever thinks I am everything, Allah will say, who are you? What is your status? Everything is that I have given to you. You should be grateful for it. You are not better than or lower than anyone else. So my brothers, may Allah give me the tawfiq and give you tawfiq. This is a serious topic that we discussed today. And this ibadah of akhlaq is very great. We are lacking this. I'm lacking this. You are pious. So just like you promised before. So let's think on this, ponder on this for sure. Definitely. Never should we do dhulam or oppress somebody else. And may we not stand as the zalim in the hereafter. Just keep one standard. One standard. Do tawbah straight away. And if you do wrong to somebody, if you have bad akhlaq to somebody, do tawbah and repent to that person. Because Allah will not forgive, that person will give. If you feel for a moment that you've broken someone's heart, someone's unhappy with you, displeased with you, son, daughter, home, outside, relatives, neighbors, whoever, wherever it is, and you think you've done something wrong, go and ask for forgiveness. Best way is you won't be able to get the forgiveness in the hereafter. It's too late then. You won't be able to do nothing. All of your effort will have finished here in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't be embarrassed to seek forgiveness, because forgiveness is a cure. Those people who work for you, if you're the boss, if they work for you, they don't think that he's my worker. How dare we do that? Don't be stubborn. Don't show power and glory. I'll tell you the reality here. Otherwise, it may not be tomorrow that you are cleaning that person's shoes. This is the example in the world. Just consider Allah Ta'ala has given you a status, an opportunity. You can benefit them. Wear the same, sit together, eat together. Consider your lower, give the haq full. And that person who works for you, may he not also be stubborn and also show issues and not have good manners. Either you'll be the boss, make others work, or you'll be working for someone. And there's balance between the two. May Allah Ta'ala make them both understand. So if you consider you're a boss and better than others, no, don't think like this. Never look down or degrade others. Where do we attain this feeling, these emotions and teachings, education? Is sad, but this is in the society. In the Western world where we're living, we see these examples where they give us great examples. That, for example, they have a lot of good qualities, that the things that we are lacking, we become people like gangsters and wahuti. If you go to an office and work, see the good manners, they assist. There are problems, there are defects. But overall, generally, the nooks, the naqas, the defects, if you go India, subcontinent, and how the boss, how he ridicules the messenger, even if he comes in the room without permission, he tells him of, how do you come in the room without my permission? Or if he's late bringing the tea, he tells him of so much, why did you take so long to make the tea? And there are men here waiting, you should give him the tea, you took so long. But here, the boss gets up himself and makes the tea for everyone else. SubhanAllah, what a big difference, what a contrast. Sadaqi, humility, simplicity, no fussiness and no maqam. So they say that he's given the wealth, that Allah Ta'ala can give wealth and he can take wealth. If I am high today and that person's low, tomorrow I am low and he's high. There's no status. There's one thing in Islam, SubhanAllah, one thing, one differentiating factor. Whose akhlaq is greater? Not even ibadah, not even worship. Whose akhlaq is greater? May Allah Ta'ala give me and you all the tawfiq. Ameen.